So where were you here?
So this car passed us on the highway. You didn't see us turn in the road, that little road that led to the house. And I took enough time. I think I got the obituary and everything for the paper. And finally left. And we'd hardly gotten in the car and started out where we were followed again. And Bill stepped on us. He had to get out of the car a couple of times to remove some debris off the road. It was Mercury Drive. And we got down to the house, and there was this guy, right? Three of our brave police officers were in the car. And they thought we were after this bootleg whiskey. Somebody manufacturing it there, and they were trying to get the goods on it. We could show that we weren't out after bootleg whiskey.
You were out, that was up Mercury Drive. What kind of a car were you riding in? Was it a Model T Ford, one of the early cars?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you were headed toward Robinson Township?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mercury Drive was called River Road then sometimes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of those places was the Holiday Inn. That is on back of the high banks. There was another roadhouse.
Well, the Holiday Inn was.
I can't think of who the lady who ran that thing. My neighbor George Kehoe went from his house over there for a drink one night in his pajamas. I remember him telling me about that. But I. May Norris.
May Norris.
Is that the place the policeman thought you were going to?
No. I don't think she did any bootlegging.
Maybe not.
No, she didn't. She had an excellent chicken place there. People came from all over.
Well, that wasn't too long ago.
No.
That she. But you could get a chicken dinner there.
No, it's apartments now, isn't it? Made into apartments.
I think so.
May isn't well at all. But she had a recipe I wish I could get. We had a couple from Florida that came to visit sometime, Jake and I, and we took them over there as a treat. And he said he had traveled all over, and she traveled with him when she could. And he said, "I've eaten chicken and I've eaten chicken, but never anything like that."
Do you remember that prohibition thing, that bootlegging thing, was really a part of the history of this community, but the people who were involved in it still don't want to talk about it. I can understand that, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And yet it's history, and it really happened, and
we had
somebody ought to know something about it.
Well, we had milkmen that had their milk bottles painted white on the outside and sold it in as milk.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. They did. We had a milkman that painted his bottles white on the outside. Did you know that?
No, I know there were many different ways of getting that stuff around.
Well,
Joseph Seifert, the guy they used to call Baloney, told me lots of stories about that. But who was your milkman, or don't you want to tell me that?
I don't even know who it was. It wasn't our milkman, for sure, because he was too straight. Who was it? There were so many of them around here then. Milk sold for 10 cents a quart, and when it was raised to 13, I thought they were trying to get rich.
Yeah. It's a lot more than that now. Now, did you ever, when you were younger, go to the high banks? There were parks there. They used to have baseball games there and things. What went on there?
Well, just a general recreation. It was run by Smittikins. Is that the name you're trying to think of?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, Smithikins ran the police there.
Where you could get, where people got stuff to drink?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where was that place?
It was a notorious place. If I'm not mistaken, that's where May Norris, after he was burned out, and I think May Norris built on that property.
Okay.
I'm quite sure that was it. But I'm not so sure about that, because we never went to those picnics. They usually had farmer picnics out there, you know. Our church picnics were always held in fruit bars.
At the Pomona Park,
yes.
By the Pomona House?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, we'll come back to that. But getting back to the High Banks, the Germans had what they call the Arbeiterverein.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was kind of a union, wasn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they had picnics there.
Yes. And of course, Smithikin, that's a German name.
Mm-hmm.
But that was quite a notorious place at the time. With the, well, something illegal went on there, I imagine. I don't know why, but it seemed to have a kind of a down name.
Was it drinking or women or both?
Drinking.
Drinking.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I suppose that led to women too. You know?
Yeah.
But anyone that mentions Smithikins were.
Yeah. Did you yourself go to the High Banks ever for any of those?
No. No, because our picnics were always held at, the only picnics we had were
Sunday school.
Sunday school picnics, and that was at Fruitport.
Did you ever go to Fruitport on the Fannie M. Rose?
Oh, yes, many a time.
Did people prefer to go on the Fannie M. Rose? You had two ways, didn't you? The
yes.
Interurban and the Fannie M. Rose.
25 cents.
What were those trips on the Fannie M. Rose like? Did people sing and?
Oh yes, just get together and.
Was that the boat you took, or was it the Lizzie Walsh or another one?
Fannie M. Rose.
Okay, when the Fannie M. Rose went to Fruitport, did it go straight there, or did it stop on the way to pick up people?
It seemed to me it stopped.
Did people signal on the
mm-hmm.
on the shore?
I'm not sure about that. That's a long time ago.
I've heard that they signaled that it to stop, and
mm-hmm.
and the boat would stop by the dock.
They have a little dock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about the May Graham? Ever been on the May Graham?
Uh-huh. That was largely for fruit.
Yes.
They brought fruit down to dock. I think I was only on that twice. And later on, the May Graham was put up here on the bluff at the in the harbor. And what was his name? Oh, he was a dry cleaner. I can't take it home.
Was part of it made into a cottage?
Yes. They took the hull and just moved the deck up.
The pilot house became part of a cottage.
Well, the whole deck.
Oh.
The whole deck they had up there.
It's not there anymore.
Oh, no. But that was taken. Let's see, we built our cottage there in 1942. That's that big log deal in back of the marina, you know. That was our cottage. We had that built, and it was right on the waters, about from here to where that car is parked across the street from the water's edge. They moved it back twice where the water is going.
Can you tell me, can you recall for me what a typical day was like in your life, say in 1920, your husband was working. What time did you get up in the morning?
Oh, we were always up. Had to be up at 7:30. Always up at 7:30.
You had children by then.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
And you got your children ready for school. You prepared a breakfast for them.
Uh-huh.
What did they eat for breakfast?
Well, mostly oatmeal. Oatmeal is, and cereal and toast and a glass of milk, some orange juice, typical little breakfast. Well, that was in 20. Well, oh, wait a minute. I was thinking of the funeral home. We weren't living at the funeral home. We didn't move there until 26.
How did you make toast in 1920?
Well, we had four-sided deal.
Oh, with a little door
that
you'd open up and lay the bread on there and then close it?
Yeah.
And then occasionally you'd forget about it and you'd see some...
It'd go up and smoke.
Smoke. Yeah, I remember one of those things.
In 1920, we were living in Grand Rapids at that time. Yeah. When did we move to Grand Rapids? 1919. We were living in Grand Rapids.
Okay. So you moved back to Grand Haven in 1920. You were in Grand Rapids for 3 years, I think, weren't you? 1924. 1924.
Yeah, in January 1924, because Joanne was 3 years old then. She was born in 21.
Okay, and then, so you fed your, by that time your children were going to school, some of them were.
Yeah, her was.
Okay. And he was off to school, and you had to take care of the others.
Well, Joanne, yes.
Joanne.
Uh-huh.
And what about your wash day? Was that Monday?
Always on Monday. Always on Monday. And iron on Tuesday, that was the deal.
And it took up most that in preparing meals, along with taking care of a baby, took up most of your day, didn't it?
Yes, it did. We didn't have any time to fool around, I'll tell you. I remember when we were first married, you had the old washboard. Galvanized iron tubs, you know. And on a wringer, we did have a wringer. That was considered a luxury, you know. Otherwise, wring them off by hand. And, my first wash machine was a water power. When did we get that? I forgot. But that was run by water.
How did... You mean no electric motor or anything?
No, it's water power. It had hoses connected with the faucet.
Oh, I see. Oh, my goodness. I never heard of a machine like that before.
You?
No.
Oh, no, that's water power.
And that turned the wringer?
No, it didn't turn the wringer. It just did your washing.
Oh. Oh, okay, okay.
And then you had but this double, well, you could put two wash tubs on it. It's a regular bench. It folded up. You've seen those old-type wringers, haven't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But did the water power turn the agitator?
Yes. I don't know how in the world that operated, but it gave it the power.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been enough if I'd kept that, would it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So would your toaster.
Yes. Okay, when?
Yes. When did you first have an automobile? About?
1922.
And I'll bet not too many people had automobiles,
no,
did they?
And my father-in-law had one in 1914.
1914?
He had an Overland. Got a picture of it here somewhere.
Oh, man.
1914.
Now, that had to be one of the first automobiles in town.
But they had a... Gould had a sister that was retired. And she was older than me. Oh, let's sit at a table where we can see something, shall we?
Would you like to look at some of these old pictures? Have you got the time?
Sure.
Or you want to come back?
Maybe I'll do that.
It doesn't matter. My time is my own.
what the funeral home looked like when we bought it.
Father-in-law drove an Overland.
Overland.
Now, what's the name of that car they made in Grand Haven?
Foster?
No, there's another name for it. Well, that'll come to us. Side of the pier was this lookout on?
It was on the south.
South side, that's
the,
what
the north pier. There's the north pier.
Where it is now.
Well, there's nothing there.
That's right. Okay. That was on the, okay. The north pier, that wooden lookout.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything else, but, and there was what he was doing. Netherlands, you see. There are mostly French people around here then. A lot of French.
Yes. 1847, the Vivaldi group came to Holland, and
right.
Some of the Van Zantwerks evidently came to Grand Haven.
I would wonder. There were two. Dick and Govert. Govert was my first husband's grandfather, you see. And I think they were 14 and 16 years old when they left the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's anything more here would interest you.
Yeah. Went to the Second Christian Reformed Church.
Mm-hmm. That's the couple you saw yesterday morning. We remodeled. We took the roof off, and they evidently put the other shingle right over the top of it because they ran into a patch three times as big as this table, which is simply all of charred. They wondered what in the world that was until I explained to them. I said that must have been the Grand Haven fire
of 1889.
They got it out, you see. Got the fire out, and then the next one that came along put a roof on, put it right over the top. So it was good insulation. They had something there, didn't they?
Yes. You didn't believe in insurance when you were younger.
Yes.
And they thought that was doubting God, I guess.
Well, my father believed in it, but not life insurance. That was strictly in the hands of God. Story. Somebody, I recall it now.
Uh-huh. That they moved the clothing.
The faith was wavering just a little bit now there, wasn't it?
Yeah. They moved the clothing out of the store.
Uh-huh. Just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
I remember that. I heard that from somewhere. But they fired.
Oh, yes.
Dr. Huffman had his little horse and buggy in front of the house. That was the night my sister was born. And there was one other woman in town in the same condition, and he kept my father busy running over to his place to see whether he was still safe, you see, his office and his home and things. I don't know just where he lived. And he later on had the big home. No, it's the parking lot now for the bank. You probably remember that huge home.
Oh, yes, that was the Dwight Cutler home.
Yes. No. That was their barn. The house stood where the People's Bank is now. That was the big home.
Oh, the house stood where the People's Bank
mm-hmm.
now is, right on the corner
and
there?
It was torn down in 1910. And this was, and what was Dr. Hoffman's house with the porch at the front, you remember? And that was the barn. To the south that would be on 3rd Street, isn't it? Yeah. They had the cutest little house. That was the coachman's house. That was the layout. And then the big hotel that they owned was across the street, you see, where the...
Were you ever in the Cutler house, the hotel?
No, that burned down. Was that before my time?
No, it burned down in 1889, but it was rebuilt in about 1903. And served as a hotel.
No,
The building is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, Thornboss and Crimmins is in
uh-huh.
there, and the Masons were in there.
Uh-huh.
The Cutler
house. The first Cutler house. Fabulous. And then they had, across the street, they had the Cutler Annex. You had heard about that.
Yes, also called the Norris House and the Sheldon Mineral Springs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was red, set way back.
You remember that?
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I remember that.
What did people use that, they had mineral springs there. What did people use that water for?
Drinking and bathing. I imagine they bathed in it too, but it's supposed to have certain medical properties in it that were beneficial. They came from all over. The trains from Chicago went out west, came over here. Whether it ever helped, I don't know. But when, you know, we had a spring like that at the corner, where the Rendezvous restaurant is, on that corner. We had a mineral spring there.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. And there was a colored family living there. No, that was higher. McKinley Graves family, Fred Graves. And next door was his, I think it was his sister. She took in laundry, did the laundry work along. Here's briefcase fell over, and they had one in their backyard, a pump. We used to go there just for the fun of it, to torture ourselves, to just get a drink of that water. It's bitter.
Hmm.
But there was I think that the same spring ran through there, probably branch of it.
How many black families were there in Grand Haven in, say, 1905 or so?
Very few, just the Graves. And we had one, old Harvey Blunt. He was a character. He lived just in the bend on 6th Street. And I think he worked for the Robbins family.
Oh.
But he was a slave, old Harvey Blunt. And I think he took the name there. Later on, when I got into down south, there's a lot of families named Blunt, B-L-O-U-N-T. Well, over here, among the Dutch and German-Swedish community, that was an odd name. I always remembered it, Blunt.
What about Ned Smith? Blind Ned Smith?
He lived on Washington Street. He sold newspapers.
Where on Washington Street?
It's beyond where Cook's Hardware Store is. Across the street from that. Across from Cook's Hardware Store. About the middle of the block.
West? Toward Lake Michigan, from Cook's Hardware?
East. East.
On the same side of the street?
No, across. Across the street. The old Crescent Theater used to be on the corner. Later on it was Prince Heating. What is it now? I don't know.
Prince Heating still.
It's still Prince Heating. Well, it was in just beyond that, about a half block down. That's where he lived.
Was there a theater there too?
Mm-hmm.
Crescent.
What was there before that time? Just houses, I imagine.
Okay, that theater showed silent movies too, just like the Orpheum?
Yes, mm-hmm. At first. And then I remember going there and they, stage shows too. They hypnotized the woman and they used our hearse, much against my husband's wishes, and put her in a window downtown to make sure that she stayed in that trance for 12 hours or more, 24 hours, I think. And then he woke her up. She was on display there in the store window.
Back during Prohibition in 1925, a speaker came to Grand Haven, a speaker from the Anti-Saloon League, and he was called Pussyfoot Johnson. Do you remember hearing about that at all?
1910?
About 1925.
1925. No, I don't remember.
Okay, he spoke at Presbyterian Church. I'm curious whether or not you heard about him. Do you remember the old float bridge over Dare, Mobile?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever cross that?
Yes, many times. Did
you get wet feet crossing it? It used to...
High water, yes.
It wasn't very high above the water, right?
No, well, we had a full bridge right here by the government pond.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh, on the pier. That's where the boats used to come in, and then they... Yes, I remember this.
There's a Highland Park Hotel. Ever been in that?
Oh, that was a beautiful place. That was taken years and years ago.
Yes, that's around 1900.
Oh,
that's when the dummy line was still running.
and ran as far as this deal here, I think.
You remember that thing, that little building?
I remember that little building.
Steve Monroe built that.
I wonder if I hadn't thought of that in years. But you know,
first graduating class in the Christian school.
I should know some of them.
Henry Teichman might be on it. I'm not sure. He loaned me that picture.
That's Bastian Van Workum up there. I can see that. Looks like Melvin Whalen. Look at those ribbons. Oh, that was Frank Vandenberg was the teacher then. I remember him. He boarded just a block from our place.
Okay.
My father used to call him the Blicken Domini. You know what that means?
Blicken
Domini?
I know what Domini means. Blicken? Lightning?
Tin. Blick.
Tin.
Blick.
Okay.
Blicken Domini. There's some over there at this May Graham deal. And he said, it's just unbelievable what they did. It was just put up on sand, you know, and there was the dining room. There's a hole as big as this table. I saw it burn. It looked right down into the sand. Tents up thrown all over, and it was a mess.
The May Graham Cottage.
Mm-hmm. And he said, we looked around at yours, but he said it was locked up, and we didn't get inside. And we went down there, but they hadn't touched anything. And there was a 10-year-old kid, was the son of one of the Coast Guardmen at the time. And, he said, isn't that awful, Daddy? Isn't that awful, Daddy? It's the kid that did it.
Oh.
He got in with a skeleton key.
Okay, there are a lot of... Here are some of the old fishing nets that the fishermen used to use.
Oh, I remember them. They used to wind them up, mend them, stick them in.
Two of the old...
Oh, yes. Those are old. Now, that looks like the only one. Now, what in the world is the other one? And there was a free trip across the road. Ready to pull in the gangplank, but I... Over here.
You...
Just made it. Sitting there, Yaki.
On the Milwaukee?
No, the Virginia.
Virginia.
That was the car ferry, you see.
You remember when the Milwaukee went down in
1929?
I'll bet the whole town was talking about that.
Oh, it was terrible. And then the Odessa that went down just before that, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's Dewey Hill when there were still some buildings on that side of the river.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an old timer. The Grand Trunk used to have railroad tracks down there, you know. The depot was there.
Oh, yes.
Some of the old filing used to be there a few years back. When it was good.
The Grand Haven Band gave concerts in Central Park?
Uh-huh. I think on Wednesday night, if I'm not mistaken, the whole town turned out.
Oh, did they?
Central Park used to be a prominent meeting place. Oh, yeah.
After they moved the bodies out of there.
Yeah. And you know, it was around in 1913, we were walking down Washington Street coming home from work, and we saw a group of them among the shrubbery, and Dr. Huffman was there too. They'd unearthed a skull there, a human skull.
A body that didn't get moved when they were supposed to have moved them.
Well, I suppose some of them weren't even marked, you know. No headstones or anything. And
yes.
So,
do you remember the Holly Waterworks?
Oh, Riley.
Riley. Now, that's it says Holly there,
no,
but it should be Riley.
It's Riley.
And that is it, isn't it? That's the Riley?
That's it, yes. Yeah, stood at the end of Washington Street.
Yeah, I should write that down.
Yeah.
Mrs. Cook, do you remember Nat Brown, the photographer?
Oh, Deb. Say, I've got a picture of him. Where is it? It's among here. I'll look it up for you.
Well,
He built a three-wheeled automobile, and I took the first ride with him. So well, I knew that.
Now, did it have a propeller in the back of it?
No, just, well, See, here's the auto. There would be two wheels here, and there would be one in the back, right in the center.
Do you have a picture of that?
I have it somewhere.
I think I have a picture of it, but it looked to me like a snowmobile. It had a big propeller in the back, and it had, it looked like a sled in the front, and you could steer it that way.
No, this was just a three-wheeled auto. It had one wheel in the back here and two in the custom place. But I had some pictures taken there one time, and I called for them. My sister was with me. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I was kidding her about the car standing. And a car was a car in those days, you know. Must have been around 1916. And he said, "Want a ride?" Well, who was I to turn down a ride? He took us around by the cemetery. And the next day I had a date with the Coast Guard, you know, so he'd heard all about it already. Oh, I catch it. Oh, Matt Brown was so much older than I at that time. You know, we just did it for the fun of it. My sister was along. It was perfectly all right.
Do you remember the airplane he made?
The box cameras, you mean?
No, he tried to make an airplane and tried to fly it. John Vince Calvin tells that story.
Oh.
Tried to fly it on 7th Street in front of the Village Inn there. Between the Village Inn and Comrade's Tavern. I think Comrade's Tavern was there, wasn't it, on 7th
yeah,
Street?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the building, is the building still there?
I think so. That's the tavern that had the bear?
Yeah.
You remember the bear?
Oh, yes, I remember the bear. Had a cage right there on the by the tracks.
Did that bear ever get out of that cage?
Not that I know of.
Didn't they take it out and take it downtown on holidays or something sometimes?
I wouldn't wonder.
Okay, but Nat Brown was a pretty interesting guy, wasn't he?
He was an inventor. He invented the box kite, you know, for cameras. He used to fly. I remember that flying around, taking pictures.
One of the things they'd do is get on the Naomi or Nyack and they'd go to Jenison Park.
Yeah, near Holland.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to Jenison Park?
Yes, many a time. Herm had a picture of my girlfriend and I three of my girlfriends and I sitting on a bench. We'd evidently taken the trip. I don't know who gave him the picture, but must have been taken around 1910.
Now, I may have a picture of you somewhere around here.
Could be.
I have a picture of a bunch of girls sitting on a bench at Jenison Park.
I was a notorious character.
Not notorious.
Well, some people might think so. You know, if you're just a little bit fun-loving, you're frowned on sometimes. Especially among... Is that taken? Well, that's not the Nyack. And yet it was the Crosby steamer that took it. It must have been the... Take a better look at it.
Where was the Van Lopik clothing store? There's a picture of the inside of it.
Uh-huh. That was in the first block of Washington Street.
What's there now?
Oak Storm Bus Clemens. It would be next door, I think, to where... What is there in there now?
Oh, okay. It was in the old Cutler House.
Yes, it was in the old Cutler House. And upstairs they had a shop where girls worked and made blouses. They call them the navy blouses, and but they weren't strictly the kind of that they have in the Navy. They were white. I think they were just unbleached cotton. Have you heard about that? And some of them had red collars on it with white tape, and some had blue collars. I worked there. I used to fold them up. That's how I learned to fold shirts. My husband wondered how I was so deft at folding those shirts. I had years of experience. That's an old timer. I think Peter Wiles and the band
dances at the Highland Park Pavilion?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you talking about the hotel or the pavilion?
The pavilion. That's where Bill Maher is now.
Yes.
Only the pavilion itself was where their big parking lot is. It was a separate building, a huge place, and had a covered porch.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that?
I have pictures of that pavilion being moved. I think at one time it was on what's now the state park, and Fred Palmer moved it.
I believe so.
I have a picture of it being moved.
I think I remember that. Then it was moved further south.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the Bill Maher itself, was that?
That was a grocery store.
And it's the same building?
The same building.
A grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of it? I suppose Highland Park people bought you out of grocery store.
Yeah, they did. Before that, I think it was an ice cream parlor. Yeah, that's where they had their ice cream.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I said, who in the world had that grocery store there? But I meant to say...
Those dances. Tell me about those dances.
I wasn't allowed to dance.
Well,
verboten.
I didn't either. It was verboten for me, too. I wish I had learned.
Yes, I too. I feel rather stupid now.
Okay, now. On this picture then, I'm recording this part. This picture of the first graduating class of Grand Haven Christian School. The first person on the left is...
Dora Smith Ringelberg. Her name was Dora Smith at that time.
Dora Smith, who became Mrs. Adrian Ringelberg.
Yeah.
She's still alive.
No, she passed away.
Oh, did she?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the next one is Mrs. Vanderven. Her maiden name was...
Boomgard.
Boomgard, that's right.
Sis, what is her first name? We always call her Sis Boomgard.
We call her Sis. Okay.
And that is Bastian van Workum.
And the third person is Bastian van Workum. Fourth person is the teacher, probably.
The teacher, Frank Vandenberg.
Frank Vandenberg. And the next one...
I don't recognize her.
It's unidentified. All right, then we have two people at the end. Who are they?
Oh, let me see. Oh, I know them, and I just can't think of their names now. I don't know. I have to give up.
Okay, but we've identified a bunch of them.
I think Sis could tell you who they are.
Do you remember? There's a boat you remember.
That's the old Fanny M. Rose.
That's the Fanny M. Rose. You went for many a ride on the Fanny M. Rose for, what'd you say, 25 cents?
25 cents.
That's round trip?
It's round trip.
All the way to the end of Spring Lake and back.
Fruitport.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my father standing on the dock one time, and he was talking to a woman that was about to take the trip, and asked someone, or captain, I guess, what the fare was. And they said, 25 cents. And she looked at my dad and she says, the 25 cents. She says, I keep my co-author and look at the welter. That was too much for her. 25 cents was too much.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that was a round trip.
William Savage's Sally?
I remember of her because my father-in-law was the chef on there. And he made the races with him.
Oh, did he?
Uh-huh. He said that in that obituary, if you read it all.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, here it is.
Yes, he was very, very fond of the Sally.
And here's the burning of the church again.
Oh, yeah.
And again.
Same Bryce lived next to us.
The Boyce home, where was the Boyce home located?
Franklin. What is that? And where the secure, where the People's Bank is now, it used to be a grocery store, and they converted. That's 4th Street, isn't it?
I think so. Uh-huh. Yeah, I have trouble with those streets.
There's just a house left on the corner that belongs to Rose, Howard Rose. It used to be Captain McCambridge's home. Now it's an apartment house, but this big home street was next to it, and it had a circular stairway with a turret. It was all windows on the outside. It was a lovely place. And every room, he was a lumberman, and every room was finished in different kind of lumber, chestnut and you name it. It was beautiful. That four lovely fireplaces just demolished it. That was a shame.
I hope that doesn't happen to the Robbins home.
Robbins?
Joanne Lawhead lives in there.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, we could have bought that place in 1944 for $4,500.
Oh, boy.
That's what they sold it for. And that included that lovely barn and all. They had loads of money and wanted to get rid of it, and they approached me about a funeral home. But at that time, Herm was in the service, and my husband had just passed away. I wasn't in any position to... And when you got to thinking about it, there would have been the problem of parking and all that sort of thing. But the rooms are all small and cut up. All the partitions would have to be removed, you see.
In the Robbins home?
In the Robbins home. They paid $4,500 for that. That whole corner.
Oh, boy.
In 1944. I remember because... they talked to me about it. R.F.D. Mail. Well, who in the world?
The picture of the Andres house.
The porch on the front. Oh, yes.
Now, that wasn't as prestigious a hotel as, say, the Gildner or the Cutler.
Oh, no.
Was it?
No.
Or the Ferry Hotel, as
no,
sometimes called.
No, it quite never got up to that.
Didn't sailors and so forth stay there?
Yeah. You never really heard anything totally bad about it, as far as I remember. Might have been. Looks as if the porch is well occupied, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I remember walking. That was a boardwalk there.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember walking along that boardwalk?
I remember that boardwalk.
Do you remember a man named Nelson R. Howlett?
Oh, yes.
What do you remember about him?
Not too much, except he's one of our wealthiest men.
Yes, he was that.
And she lived until... when did she pass away?
He married a woman named Baker.
Oh, very well known.
That was his second wife.
I didn't know... I wasn't in that rank, you know.
Yeah. Grand Haven had an upper echelon, too, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Absolutely.
And most of them came out of lumbering money.
Mm-hmm. And out of the poor man's work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And working for $1.50 a day. Standing up.
$1.50 a day?
Mm-hmm.
Standing up all day. Yeah.
I remember one old gentleman that pushed these carts with a heavy lumber on it for the Harvick, the refrigerator plant, Challenge refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushed those carts until he was bent double, just from the work, you know. Poor old man never made anything.
Who was he?
His name was Beto. Now that's a good Holland name. B-E-T-T-O, Ritzema. He was Jimmy Ritzema's grandfather. The one that works in the, or is connected with the state bank.
His last name was Beto?
First name.
First name. Beto Ritzema?
Ritzema.
Jimmy Ritzema's grandfather.
I remember him well.
People did work hard in those days.
They did.
And they didn't get paid much for it.
That's why they could afford ships like the Sally and that sort of thing.
And beautiful houses. Mm,
beautiful homes. Well, it's just a shame. But they work for practically nothing. But, of course, food was cheap in those days, and You could raise your own livestock right in the city. I remember cows going down 6th Street. We had neighbors that had, well, there was a Johnson that had 16 cows. Neighbor next door, well, they were about at least a half a block from us. They had, I think they had 5. Used to go there every morning for a pail of milk. It was still warm when we brought it home.
Do you think that those working conditions were one of the reasons why some of the strikes started to occur, like the big tannery strike of 1936? Remember that first big strike in Grand Haven?
Yes, I do. I know some men came and borrowed our hunting tent. We didn't know what it was for. We thought it was either fishing or hunting. It was nothing unusual for them to do. It's quite a large tent. What as large as this room here. And it was for the strikers.
For their little camp there?
Mm-hmm.
They had a camp where there's a body shop there now on Beach Street.
Yeah.
A central body shop.
Mm-hmm.
Was your tent one of those?
I think so.
I have a picture then of that tent.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'd like to show that to you sometime.
We never got it back. But they paid us for it.
They had trailers there too.
Did they have trailers in those days?
Yeah, I saw some trailers on the picture. And it did get out of hand.
It's a union deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that got out of hand. It was a good thing. It gave the working man a chance. But it got out of hand. Later on, the working man, I think, really wanted too much. You do.
Two Christian schools on...
Two public schools on Jacob Street. One was just off the second. You take the second house. You know where... What is the name of that again?
The deli?
Down 6th Street?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that the deli?
Or there is a Dids. There's a little grocery.
Dids. They cater to takeout services, and the sandwiches and that sort of thing. They say it's pretty expensive and quite exclusive. I've never been in it. He just begged his mother, or his stepmother, his father, to make this trip on the Andaste, and his father said no. And he said, take you out of school, his father was a friend of one of the officers of the boat, you know. He said, well, he'd watch him. He said, he'd take care of him. Just show him what sailing is like. And finally, after a lot of pressure, the stepmother said no. The father says, oh, let him go. It's all he's got in his mind anyway. Let him get a taste of what the lake is like. He went down with that ship. Now the paper came out, or this book came out, and it said he was in the galley peeling potatoes. There was no such thing. He was there as a guest of this officer.
Earl Zitlow?
Uh-huh. And he went down with the ship, and 13 months afterwards, they recovered his body. Plane was flying overhead and spotted the body floating and got word to the car ferry that was just in there in the sea lane, you see, and they found him and they brought him in. They said that it was either a small man or a boy. There was Earl. So we buried him 13 months after the ship went down. I could tell you a lot about that, and I could put that author straight too if they had just consulted us, you know, but that's way off. So I wonder sometime about these other stories, whether they're accurate. But they should have come to me.
Yes. Well,
this is a